Good morning. All right. Coffee's over here if you need it. It sounds like you need it this morning, huh? Wow, one less hour of sleep. I'm kind of the opinion, if I ever got to be president, we'd always just keep falling back an hour. I love that idea. Oh, yeah, Children's Church. If you want to go to Children's Church, we have Brandon over here. He's the Pied Piper. He'll take you where you need to go. They'll be in good hands. They're going to learn. No adults, please. The whole crowd get up and take off. But yeah, I'm always a fan of that fallback thing. I always, for the next week or so, man, I'm on the top of my game. I've got extra sleep, all that good stuff. But you know what? This was spring forward, and I just want you to be gentle and merciful, because when we're getting ready to close things down, there's going to be people walking in wondering why there's so many people here so early, okay? So just remember, if you had forgotten to set your clock forward and it was you, how you would want to be treated as you come in kind of sheepishly. And if they come in, let's just love them and just grateful that they made it, okay? So that's what we'll do. I did something this week that was fun. You ever go to YouTube and just kind of reminisce about stuff? I love YouTube, and I go, and this week I plugged in some comedy stuff. I wanted to just kind of see some old comedy records that I used to have. I wanted to see if they were on YouTube, because I don't have a vinyl record player anymore. I mean, who does? Anybody? You still have a... Awesome. Awesome. Hold on to that. It's coming back. it's coming back. But this week, I YouTubed Bill Cosby. Now, I know Bill Cosby's a controversial figure right now, and he's in a lot of trouble, it seems. But, you know, if you go back to his albums from the 60s and the 70s, he was a genius. He was just a comedic genius. And I just loved, when I was a kid, watching Fat Albert and Bill Cosby and the gang. Anybody else? You there? Okay. Yeah. Well, this week, I reconnected with a story that was just amazing, okay? Do you remember the story Cosby told about Buck Buck? Okay? Buck Buck. I love that story. He says this is a kid's game that they would play in Philadelphia, and what you do is one person would get up, and they would grab a hold of a wall or a fence or a pole, and they'd lean down, and then four other people would come, and they'd kind of put their arm around the waist of the person in front of them. They'd duck their head down, and they'd form kind of like a horse. And then another team would send people down, and they would jump on top of that chain, that linked up pony that the people had formed, and they'd try to knock them down. And you'd count how many people you were able to hold up before you collapsed the horse. And then you'd take turns, just, and whoever won the most rounds won. And so he talks about the fact that they were the Buck Buck champions of the world. And they got challenges from all over the place. And this one specific time, he said they got challenged from the Uptown Kids. He said they had toothpicks hanging out the side of their mouth. And they had the hats on sideways and the pants on backward. They were rebelling against everything. And he said they came down and they challenged them to the Buck Buck championship of the world. All right. And so they lined up. That team went. And only the way Cosby can do it, he talked and he embellished and made it just sound so funny. And they held 400. That's what he said. All right. I don't think so, but there you go. So then it was time for the other team to go. And so they lined up, and Bill Cosby's group, Weird Harold, went first. And he, buck, buck, number one, come in. And the other team was like, a mosquito. Somebody bit me with a mosquito. And then I, ha, 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 ha. You guys got no weight. We're going to win the championship. Then it was buck, buck, number two, come in. Psh, boom. And it was Cosby. And they were like, paper. Somebody threw a piece of paper on me. All right. And so then they sent down buck, buck, number three, number four, number five. They're like, we're the champions of the world. Send down your last guy. And that's where Cosby's team said, you remember this? Come on out. Fat Albert. Fat Albert was the baddest buck buck breaker in the world. Fat Albert weighed 2,000 pounds, and he loved to hear us call his name. He kicked open the door to his house. All right, you got this? And so Fat Albert comes down and basically saying, and the ground is shaking. Buildings are losing pieces of brick. Trees are falling over. And then he says, his one leg comes around the side of the building, and the other team looks at it and says, what's that? And they said, it's Fat Albert. He's coming for you. And they stand up, they quit, because he's not going to jump on us. I love it. And he tells that story to tell another story, which is even more humorous. We don't have time this morning. But do you ever feel like we live in a buck-buck world? I mean, it feels like we've only got a few people that are with us trying to hold things up. But it seems like there's a whole world of Fat Alberts out there. Buck, buck, number 5,000, come in! And they just wanting to knock us down and to tear us down in the midst of us trying to stand strong. Can you relate to that at all? I know for me, the more I try to do right, the more it seems like the world is out there trying to do me wrong. Today, we're going to continue in this series, Stand, and where we're looking at the character of Daniel from the Old Testament. And we've been learning lessons from that Old Testament book and that specific character. First week, we learned about standing out, where we take a stand for our faith and we stand out. We dare to live extraordinary lives. Then the second week, we talked about standing up to someone and speaking the truth in love, and how Daniel did that to King Nebuchadnezzar. And actually, it transformed that whole nation because of what God had told Daniel to say to the king. And this week, we want to look at standing strong. At this point in our series, Daniel is now 80 years old. He's serving under his third king, all right? This fella has outlasted three kings. We had been talking about Nebuchadnezzar, then there was Belshazzar, and now there's King Darius. History reveals and recalls King Darius as an administrative genius. In fact, as soon as he started ruling the kingdom, he came in and he set up governors. They call them satraps in the Bible. They're the ones who were called kingdom protectors. They were the one that were actually there to protect against rebellion, to levy taxes, and to guard the financial affairs of the kingdom. And over these 120 governors, he put three people over them. Daniel was one of those three, the administrators. The Bible, and this week we're looking at Daniel chapter 6. So if you got your Bible, if you got your smartphone, that's where we're going to be looking at. And so I encourage you to look there. The Bible says this: now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators that the king planned to put him in charge over the whole kingdom. You see, all throughout Daniel's life, you see him standing out. We see him standing up. We see him standing and serving with an excellent spirit. He's going the extra mile and doing what needs to be done in such a form and in such a fashion that the kings looked at him and said, you know what? He is head and shoulders above everyone else. I think what I want to do is I want to put him in charge. He'll be second only to me. Sounds like a great day, doesn't it? It sounds like Daniel is finally coming into his own. He's getting a promotion. He's still serving God. He hasn't compromised on anything. He can be a great witness. But the reality is, what seems like a great promotion is actually going to introduce a lot of trouble into Daniel's life. God's going to use it. God's going to bless it. But not all the time when we're being lifted up, not all the time when we're being promoted, is it just sweetness, wine, and roses. There's some difficulty that goes along with it. And here is no different. Two administrators that were his equals looked at him and they think, you know what? That should have been us. They get jealous and they say, you know what? We're going to take this guy out. We're going to falsely accuse him so that they could have his role. But we're going to watch Daniel stand strong with supernatural strength that can only come from a long-term faith relationship with God, with the living God. I'm going to show you three truths from this story that I think will help us stand strong when we face trials and temptations and difficulties in our lives. The first of these truths I want to share with you today is this: when God raises you up, expect other people to tear you down. All right. If we can just get that in our minds that when God builds us up and when God strengthens us and God promotes us, other people are not going to like it. In fact, they're going to try to tear you down. Let's say you receive a promotion and the people that you think would be really proud for you, really excited for you, are not going to be as proud. They're actually probably going to get a little bit of jealous and see what they can do maybe to knock you down a notch. Maybe you've gotten excited about your faith and you're going around in your family or in your community, in your neighborhood, and you're telling people about Jesus and you're kind of shocked that you're not meeting receptivity, but some hostility. Or maybe God is speaking to you about downsizing and you really feel like God's raising you up to a new standard of living by simplifying things, and other people are picking you apart for downsizing. Or you decide to homeschool your kid and folks are going to attack you for that. Whatever it may be, the culture's not going to like it when you take a stand for God. And if you're doing what God has called you to do, you can expect criticism. So when you're raised up, expect others to tear you down. You know, here on the beach, we've got crabs. Did you realize that? Yeah. And there's this syndrome called crab syndrome. If you go around and you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket and one of them tries to escape the bucket, you know what all the other crabs are going to do? They start bringing them down, don't they? If I'm not getting out, you're not getting out. They're saying, if I can't be free, you're not going to be free. So exactly the same thing spiritually. When God lifts us up, people don't want to see us lifted up. They don't want to see us get freedom. They don't want to see us move on to other things. And so they're going to be tearing us down. My experience with mental health, I've been very open with y'all about my struggles, about my near complete mental breakdown. And back during the time when I was attempting to get well, my therapist said this to me, and I was like, are you kidding me? Believe this. He told me, not everyone is going to be okay with you getting well. And I found that to be true. That as I told my story, many of you are there with me, you're praying for me, you're supportive and you're encouraging. But there are others out there that don't want to see me get well. They want to see me crash and burn. And we see this scenario played out in Daniel, don't we? The administrators who were with him tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But the Bible says they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men, the Bible says, came to themselves and they said, we're never going to find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. That they knew he wasn't going to compromise there. And so they said, we've got to try to trick him up at the level of his greatest commitment. So they devise a plot to attack him. Now, let me just tell you something. One of the problems of Western Christianity is we think when we get saved that our life from that moment forward is going to be problem free. I don't know where we get this, but we kind of think, you know what? I'm a Christian. And it should be smooth sailing, that God's going to take care of me, and it's going to be all prosperous ideals from here on out. But it's just not that way, is it? God's not promised us problem-free. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. It's just not the way it is, that we're going to skate through this life unharmed. The Bible tells us that we battle against flesh, battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and dark places in this world. And whenever we're moving the kingdom forward, we can expect resistance from the prince of darkness, from the enemy who works through people, even well-meaning people. And if we're not ready to face opposition for our obedience to God, then maybe we're not ready to be used by God, because that's going to happen. God lifts you up, people are going to try to tear you down. And so there's Daniel. He's standing strong. There's opposition against him. The other two administrators go to the king, and they suggest to the king that over the next 30 days, no one can pray to any other god except for you, O king. And if they pray to another god, then they need to be thrown into a lion's den and taken care of. And even though King Darius knew he wasn't a god, He let pride get the better part of him. And he says, okay, if anybody prays to any other God but me over the next 30 days, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Well, as you can imagine, this created a huge problem for Daniel. The other administrators knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. You know, I wonder, if somebody made a law like that today, how many people would worry about us because they knew that we are people of prayer? How many people knew or would know that a law like that outlawing prayer would catch us right where we live? So in the midst of all that, they knew that they could get Daniel. And he had three options in the decision he would make. The first one would be this: Daniel, you could stop praying. You know, he's 80 years old. Been real easy to say, you know, God, I've been faithful all these 80 years. I'm just going to take a knee for the next 30 days, and I'll get back to it after the month's over. And you and I are good. You know my heart, and I'm not going to pray for the next 30 days. Or the second option is, and quite honestly, it's probably what I would have done. I'd have just faked it. Okay, I'd have gone down with wherever everybody else was, and I'd have just said a silent prayer to God, my God, and let them think what they want to think. That wasn't good enough for Daniel, though. See, Daniel chose the third option, and it was do everything just like he had always done, unafraid, unashamed. He's just going to stand up for God, and he's going to keep opening up the doorways toward Jerusalem, and he's going to pray, and he's going to be bold about his prayer life. I wonder, you ever thought about what it takes to have that kind of audacious faith? What produces that kind of faith? Well, it's the second part what I want to share with you today is that kneeling to pray is what gives us the strength to stand. Know that when God lifts you up, people are going to tear you down, and so we better be on our knees, because when we're bowed in prayer, that's what's going to give us the strength to stand against the resistance that's coming our way. Verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what did he do? He went to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. He's unfazed. He just goes about it. Our first response often when we experience troubles or difficulties, what do we tend to do? We tend to worry. We tend to try to figure it out. We try to create a strategy. How in the world can I do this? You know, oftentimes, sadly enough, prayer becomes our last response, doesn't it? Instead of being the first resort, it's our last resort. And oftentimes when we face trouble, we begin to panic rather than pray. William Sangster was once quoted as saying, when we get to heaven and we see all that prayer has accomplished, we will all be ashamed that we did not pray more. Jesus said it this way: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We need to pray, because kneeling to pray gives us the strength to stand. The Bible also tells us that we have not because we ask not, or we ask with selfish intents. You see, I'm convinced that much of the success of Daniel's life is directly attributed to his prayer life and the fact that he predetermined through prayerful resolutions what he would do when the heat was on. You see, when the heat was on, he resolved not to defile himself with the food that was set aside at the king's table that had been given to idols. When the heat was on, he had already resolved himself to pray no matter what. You see, if we haven't prayerfully resolved to get to know God and to find sweetness in that relationship with him, if we don't have a predetermined plan to grow in our intimacy with him, then we're not going to grow, and we're not going to be able to stand up when the going gets tough. When Fat Albert is bearing down on us, we're going to collapse, we're going to cave, we're going to run away. You see, the key to any good, healthy, or vibrant relationship is communication. How many of you all give your wife or your husband the silent treatment for months? You won't stay husband or wife for very long if you never talk, right? I mean, that may be down deep in us. Okay, well, I'm just not going to talk to you anymore. But without talking, you just begin to drift. It's the same way in our relationship with God. When was the last time you had a meaningful, deep conversation with God? You know, I found it to be addictive. When you get into the presence of God and you start talking and knowing that He's listening, and then you start listening and find out He's talking, man, you just want to do it more and more and more. Now back to Daniel. Pay special attention to how Daniel prays. Not just that he prayed, but how he prays. He kneels down. You know, if you've never knelt before God in prayer, you're missing out on one of the sweetest, most powerful postures of humility and surrender you can know. And it's almost like your body is getting involved in the prayer, that your body is saying, we really do submit. Where you get on those knees and you just get open-hearted before God. You see, Daniel had predetermined long ago that he would seek God earnestly in prayer three times a day, and nothing would get in the way of that, because he knew that if he knelt to pray, God would help him stand strong in the day of trouble. Listen, when life knocks you down, you need to seek God in prayer. We need to kneel before him so that he will grant us the strength to stand. Because at some point, if we're a follower of Christ, we're going to need to take a stand. Maybe it's in our neighborhood, maybe it's in our family, maybe it's in our business, maybe it's with relationships that are there out around us. There's going to be a time where we will be forced to make a stand for God. Have you been praying? Have you been reading the Word? Have you been getting strengthened so that you can stand? Maybe in your mind you start thinking, well, what happens if I do take a stand in my community or my neighborhood? Or what happens if I take a stand with my business? What's going to happen? Or you've got this relationship and it's not honoring God and it's kind of pulling you down and it's dragging you down. What if I separate from that boyfriend or girlfriend? What happens? Maybe I'm going to lose out on that deal and maybe my business will start to fail or flounder. Or if I give up that boyfriend or girlfriend, am I ever going to be able to find somebody else? You know, I wish I could tell you that it's always going to work out, that you don't have to worry about it, that there's always going to be a boyfriend there or a girlfriend there, or there's going to be another business deal. But Jesus said, we've got to count the cost. Following him can be costly. And you know, Daniel's probably sitting there thinking, all right, I'm standing up for God. I'm going to pray. I know I'm going to face consequences. But what if the lions eat me and God doesn't answer? Well, what happens if God doesn't stand up for me as I'm standing up for him? You know, that's a fair question, and we need to ask it. We got to be thinking about what God calls us to and being willing to count the cost and saying, regardless, I'm in this. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to fade away. Because God will often ask us to do things that may seem crazy. But the God who calls you to it is the God who will bring you through it. And it may not be the business deal you wanted, or it may not be the relationship that you thought that you just had to have. But I do know this, when you do the right thing by God, God will do the right thing by you. And that's our third point today. When you do what's right, you can always trust God with the results. Yeah, it may be difficult. Yes, it may be costly. But God's got this. I keep going over this year in my mind, the word for the year. You know, we talked about that earlier in the year. My word is trust, that God has got this. There is never a time when God is up in heaven, sitting on his throne, wringing his hands, worrying about what he's going to do for you or for me. He's not up there in the staff meeting in heaven, looking at the Holy Spirit and Jesus saying, all right, didn't anybody see that coming? All right, what's the deal? He's never in that position. He knows what he's calling you to. He knows how he's going to pull you through it. He knows what the outcome he's wanting to be. But oftentimes we have difficulty seeing it, don't we? I mean, think about it. Daniel is sitting there and he's praying, and when he's in the middle of the story, he doesn't have the benefit that we have of seeing the end of the story. So he's just got to trust God. And so there he is. Daniel is believing in the faithfulness of God. I can see him right there. God's been faithful to me. Therefore, I'm going to be faithful to him. If he saves me, I'll trust him. If he doesn't save me, I'm still going to trust him. Well, when the news comes to King Darius that Daniel has been caught in this dragnet, this witch hunt, he's devastated because he loves Daniel. He trusts Daniel. Everybody loved Daniel except for those two that were very jealous of him. And the king is mad now because he's been tricked. Two of his top three trusted people have betrayed him. He tries to get out of it, but he can't. He's already given his word. And so there, Daniel is led to the lion's den. And actually, it's not a lion's den. It's a den of lions. All right? Because in a lion's den, there may or may not be lions present. But if they take you to a den of lions, the lions are there. Sometimes you wonder, man, I'm in the lion's den all the time. Well, yeah, we are. But then there's times where we're in a den of lions, and it gets real serious. So here he is, King Darius. He's sending Daniel out. He's just devastated, so he prays and he fasts. This king prays and fasts. And we don't know what happens there in the lion's den. All we know is that this 80-year-old man is lowered down into this place where hungry lions are kept. And God shows up. It would have been cool to have just seen that, you know? What's going on in the midst of the difficulty? What's going on when the rubber meets the road? I don't know what happened for Daniel, but I do know this. There have been times in my life when I was facing hungry lions, and the peace of God that passes all understanding descended upon me, and I knew God's provision in a daily way. I sensed God's presence. I don't know what happened for Daniel, but I do know this. He made it through the night, didn't he? God shut the mouths of the lions. And the first thing in the morning, King Darius, he wakes up and he goes running down to the den and he says, Daniel, Daniel, are you okay? Are you all right? Has your God rescued you from the mouths of the lions? And Daniel says, absolutely, King. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong to you, O King. The king was overjoyed and he gave orders to lift Daniel out. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds were found upon him. He probably didn't even have cat hair. Now that's a miracle in and of itself. Because he trusted God. Yeah, God promoted him and his enemies tried to tear him down. He went ahead and he prayed because he knows that the key to standing strong is to kneel in prayer. And when the moment came for him to go into the lion's den, he trusted God because God can be trusted. Now here's where the story gets interesting. The two people that were responsible for getting Daniel sent down to the lion's den, the king turns the tables on them. And he sends them and their families into the lion's den, this den of lions. And the Bible says before they even hit the floor of the den, the lions attacked them. Now, we don't like those parts of the Bible, do we? Oh, yeah. But Daniel didn't have to worry about revenge. God took care of it. God's going to take care of you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. And he can be trusted to get you to the other side. Daniel's faithfulness in God is the key to this story. He didn't flinch in the face of difficulty. And even if God had not chosen to close the mouths of the lion, Daniel still would have been faithful to God regardless because he knew God was faithful to him. So today, are you facing some opposition? Are you up against some odds that look intimidating, that look like the enemy is ready to tear you down and knock you out? Has God begun to raise you up a little bit? People are starting to look at you with that eye. Nope, you're not going to get ahead. You're not going to get out. We're going to bring you down to our level. Can I tell you this? Kneeling to pray is going to give you the strength to stand. I hope that you have dedicated yourself to an intimate time with God every day, numerous times a day. I'm trying to teach my children just momentary prayers, that in the moment they'll pray. The other day we were driving down the road and an ambulance went by. And from the back seat, I hear my son say, "Jesus, be with the people that are hurting." See, I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to react and respond to life with a prayerful attitude. He wants us to pray without ceasing. That's what's going to enable us to stand strong, regardless of how many fat Alberts there are in the world trying to buck us to death or buck us into submission. And then lastly, if we're kneeling and in prayer and we have the strength to stand, then this is, you can count on this. You can trust God with the results. God's got you. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to fail you. He's got a bigger plan, and his end result may be different than yours, but I can tell you this, the story will be amazing. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in the dark world. We stand firm in faith because God has told us, you're going to have trouble. Put on the full armor of God. Be ready to stand when trouble comes. And we're going to be able to stand because God has been faithful to us through Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us if he is in us, then greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Today, maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're facing a den of lions. Maybe the fat Alberts of the world of difficulty are bearing down on you. You hear them calling your name. They're ready to pounce. If you're in a situation like that, I'm not going to ask you to embarrass yourself in any way, shape, or form. Just nod. I can see a nod. Even those who are sleeping today, I will just let them be participating in prayer that way. But just nod, and I'll know to pray for you. You're facing the lions. Father, I pray that your Spirit would come and give strength to your people. That God, you would encourage us to obey you, even if it doesn't make sense or it seems really crazy. Help us to stand strong in the face of the lions in our lives. I pray, God, that we would grow in our faith, that you would help us to kneel before you so that you could strengthen us to stand up to the trials and the temptations and the difficulties of this world. And Lord, I pray today that those who nodded would feel a special closeness. They would feel your special presence. That you will never leave them nor forsake them, but that you are with them even to the end of the age. And that you are the God who goes with us into the lion's den. You go with us into the fiery furnace. You deliver us from the fire and the flood. So be with your people. God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would comfort them, and let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've got this. You've got them. So come and do miracles amongst us, God, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.